When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into another edition of the FFSN NFL Draft Show. My name is Jeremy Betts, and I am joined, as always, by Andrew Wilbar. This week, we're going to be breaking down the AFC East in a draft deep dive. And also, later on this week, you can also catch our NFC East deep dive after taking on both North Divisions last week. Andrew, we're going to introduce these teams here in the AFC East, but a quick synopsis of these programs and who's on an upward trajectory going into the draft process here.
It's an interesting division, Jeremy, because every team in this division is in a different phase. You have the Jets, who have the old quarterback who are trying to create a small Super Bowl window for themselves. Then you have the Dolphins, who are debating whether they, you know, how much do we need to prioritize Tua Tagovailoa, and how big of a role is he going to play in us going forward? Is he the guy, the right guy to move forward with? Josh Allen is still young. He is settled in as that franchise guy, but can they get over the hump? And then you have the Patriots, who are in that rebuild. So it's going to be interesting to see which philosophy these teams take, and the draft could be a big determining factor in who finishes top to bottom in this division.
Yeah, a couple of swing positions in the draft inside this division with the Patriots at 3, what they decide to do there with the quarterback position or whatnot. And then the Jets at 10, they kind of feel like that spot where if somebody might want to move up for one of the last big three receivers or one of the top offensive tackles, they could potentially be in play there as well. And we know the Jets need some offensive line help, among others. We'll get to the Jets in a minute, but let's start with the Buffalo Bills, Andrew, who got to work early in free agency, bringing in a backup quarterback again for Josh Allen in the form of Mitchell Trubisky. As Steeler fans, we are very glad he's a former Steeler and, again, a Buffalo Bill, but that is neither here nor there. Mac Hollins signs a free agent deal, as well as Curtis Samuel, two wide receivers, to kind of rebuild that room after Gabe Davis heads out of town. Deion Dawkins re-signs. AJ Epinesa re-signs. They bring in, They bring in a bunch of guys, Mike Edwards, safety, and then a bunch of re-signings as well for them, kind of trying to run it back on defense as best they can, but they did lose some of their top players there. How do you see the Bills attacking the draft sitting there at 28 overall?
I'm looking potentially at edge rusher, and I know that they brought back AJ Epinesa on a 2-year deal, but Von Miller will be 35 by the time the draft is here. He's not getting any younger. They could really afford to use some depth. They need a little bit more juice off the edge. It's hard to tell what guys are going to be available at this point because there's such a wide range when you're looking at different mock drafts, different things. Could Jared Verse fall this far? I'm not sure that he does. In my most recent mock draft that will be coming out this week on the FFSN, so make sure you go and check that out on the editorial side. I believe I have the Jets actually taking Verse in this scenario. He fell to them. Laiatu Latu is a guy that could be in that range, could fall because of the medicals. And if you don't get one of those guys, maybe they opt for a Chop Robinson, or they wait until day two. There are a few guys on day two. A guy like Marshawn Nyland, I think, could be a good fit for them from Western Michigan. But I think that's an area they really need to address. They've been solid on the edge, but they haven't had that elite guy that can take over games and be clutch in big moments. They need that guy. So developing a guy, maybe whether it be with some speed or a power rush, they got to bring somebody in that's a little bit more explosiveness off the edge. That could be very beneficial for them as they come down the stretch this year and hope to get over the hump that is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, the defensive line, obviously this is a team that Sean McDermott is going to want to build that defense up and make sure that it's one of the top units in the league. And I think you look at them from a personnel standpoint, and I think that a lot of people knocking them down a little bit based on some of their losses, but I still think this is a team that can compete and probably should be the favorite in the AFC East still. I think they could also tack offensive line, Andrew, early in this draft, and as they typically need to do. And then also the wide receiver position will play an intriguing role in their draft strategy as well, with Stephon Diggs another year further into a very expensive contract, and whispers about his wanting to be there or not wanting to be there, which may be overblown, but still, you lose Gabe Davis, you bring in Curtis Samuel. It seems like that's a position they could target as well. Anything else that kind of stands out to you about this Bills team heading into the draft?
I still think they could afford to add another receiver to the room. Curtis Samuel is a really good signing for them. He's a good complement to Stephon Diggs. I think they could still use a bigger body on the outside. Two guys that I have highlighted for them are teammates, actually, in college. Florida State's Keon Coleman. If he's still there at the end of the first, he could be in play. He could even be in play for them in the second round, depending on how far he falls. We have no clue how high Keon Coleman could go, but he would be a great fit on the outside in Buffalo as another receiver to add to the mix. I know they have Khalil Shakir. I know they brought in Hollins, but they could still use one other guy on the outside to really put this offense over the top. I'm also looking at Johnny Wilson, who's probably going to be a late day two. He's probably going to fall to day three, if we're being perfectly honest, but a 6 foot, 6.5 wide receiver, incredible length. He's one of the longest, yeah, maybe the longest to ever measure in at the scouting combine. So he's a guy with length, guy with physicality, not top end speed, but enough to win. He's a guy I would have my eye on in the middle rounds if I'm Buffalo, is a guy who can win some of those contested catches down the field.
Absolutely. Let's move on to the Miami Dolphins, who, again, another intriguing case in this AFC East, and a very explosive offense, but a defense that kind of has let them down the last few years. And they have been busy, Andrew, to say the least, on the defensive side of the ball in free agency. I count 10 free agent additions to the defense for the Miami Dolphins, including guys like Jordan Poyer, a former Buffalo Bill, cornerback Kendall Fuller, Anthony Walker from the Browns, Jordan Brooks, which was a great signing in my opinion at linebacker, and then some defensive linemen in Jonathan Harris and Neville Gallimore, and also bringing in Shaq Barrett on the edge. The Dolphins could still use some help on defense, but they could also use some help up front, even though they did sign Aaron Brewer at center. Where do you see the Dolphins going early in this draft?
I want to throw out one hypothetical scenario out, and I've thought about it before, and I'm not sure if it's going to escape my mind until actual draft day. I know the Dolphins could still afford to add more pieces up front, and I think that would be the most ideal spot and probably the most likely. But Jeremy, the big question is, they did not bring back Cedric Wilson. Mm-hmm. He signed with the Saints. They didn't bring back the Chase Claypool thing. Didn't work out there either. Needless to say, they lack depth at wide receiver. My question is, if Xavier Worthy falls to 21, is he a guy that they would actually target? We know how much this offense revolves around speed and how much teams have struggled to maintain holding up with two super fast guys on the outside with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Fast running backs in A-Chain and Mostert. There's only so much speed you can handle. And if they want to complete the speed package, how about a guy who just ran the fastest 40 time in combine history? Mm-hmm. And Worthy's a tough guy. Like, I'm not saying he's just a speed-only guy, but there's still going to be durability concerns with someone that small. But if you're looking for an offense where he could have his role and have a piece of the action early on, I think Miami is actually a good fit for him, despite the fact that they have similar receivers, similar styled wide receivers. I think that's a spot where he has a role in year one, and his role grows depending on what Jalen Waddle's future is with the team, regardless of what area they go. I'm just wondering if McDaniel will be able to help himself if Xavier Worthy is on the board, thinking I could create the true speed package. Some that I and many others have like thought that'd be such a cool concept. Have a bunch of fast receivers, just create a speed package, and teams won't be able to comprehend it. Well, teams may not be able to comprehend it, and this is the first time someone's actually tried it at the NFL level. They could complete this with a third receiver that can play inside the slot in Xavier Worthy. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, Jeremy, but I think that's a legitimate possibility. If the lineman they don't want isn't, if they don't get the lineman they want in the first round, would they consider a guy like Xavier Worthy?
I think so. I think that would be very intriguing for that offense specifically by design. Just think about it, Andrew. You wouldn't be able to play man coverage against them with all the runaways that they'd be able to do. I mean, it would just be impossible. You'd have to mix and match, or you'd have to be running zone just to be able to keep up with the runaway concepts that he likes to run in that offense. The other thing that I think, like, could you just imagine, like, if Troy Fatanu ends up there at 21 for the Dolphins. Would you see them passing on a guy like that who can literally help them at any of the five spots on the offensive line where they need it? Graham Barton as well kind of fits in that type of stereotype as well. I don't know if the wide receiver, especially at that early, I think maybe earlier in the second round or towards the back end of the first round, a guy like Worthy might fit them a little better. But I just think that if one of those two guys are there for the Dolphins, I think that sounds like the move that they would make. Does anything else stand out to you, maybe on the defensive side of the ball, that they could attack early?
I think they could still use some safety help. They have Javon Holland. They brought in some pieces. I think they could still use some work. Obviously, they lost Christian Wilkins. And you look at the signings that they had. Obviously, they brought in Gallimore, free agent deal. Benito Jones, depth guy. Jonathan Harris, one-year deal. Deshaun Hand, he re-signed with them. They brought in some guys, but they when you lose a guy like Christian Wilkins, that's a big loss. So yeah. I don't know that this is the draft that you're going to find a true replacement. If you're looking for guys that have similar body types, maybe a little bit shorter, I would look at a guy maybe like Darius Robinson. If you fit him in, he's not going to maybe add that much weight, but he's a guy with the length. If you're looking for a guy with the bulk, maybe a Michael Hall Jr., a little bit more stout defender, you can bring him in the third round. Could be a value signing for them. But for a team that is as explosive as it is on offense, there's still some holes this team has. After losing Xavien Howard, they need to replenish some depth at corner. Again, these are all things that they addressed in free agency. Kendall Fuller's a good corner. I like him best when he's in the nickel, to be perfectly honest. They could still afford to add an outside guy. So all options are on the table if you're the Miami Dolphins. But regardless of what they do, you got to protect Tua. So the way to go, in my eyes, you're going to have linemen there, whether it's a Graham Barton, whether it's a Jackson Powers Johnson, whether it's someone. You got to get someone in there that is going to help protect Tua, because that's your number one priority. Without Tua, this team doesn't go anywhere.
100%, and Tua needs to stay upright. And you know, this might be a make or break year for Tua Tagovailoa as well, as far as what they're going to do if he can't get them over the hump at quarterback. I know they spent some money on him last offseason, but it is coming up as well for him to under that type of consideration. Let's move to the New York Jets, who finished third in this division. A very disappointing 2023 season for a Jets team that had a lot of Super Bowl hype with Aaron Rodgers coming to town and a team around him that looked really good. The defense, Andrew, played lights out despite having basically zero offense to complement them. But let's take a look at some of the signings here. Wide receiver Mike Williams might be the biggest signing for them of the offseason and immediately comes in as an explosive playmaker for Aaron Rodgers if he can stay healthy. They acquired Morgan Moses in a trade with the Baltimore Ravens, so they've got their tackle, as well as Tyron Smith, who still a little bit older, but when he's healthy, is still one of the best tackles in the game. They're making moves, and they're trying to really rebuild this team, especially on the defensive side where they did lose a few players. So let's talk about this Jets team. Is it all offense all the time for the Jets here in this draft, up front, maybe on the offensive line and maybe at wide receiver still?
I think early on it is. I think they still need some help at safety, but there's not anyone they're going to draft on day one unless they were to reach for a Cooper DeJean and maybe fit him into that role. I still think they could afford to add a safety. I would say that wide receiver should take priority, but if the top three guys are gone at 10, the question is, do you take the lineman or do you take Brock Bowers? Because the Jets still need depth at tackle. Tyron Smith is injury prone, and I know they have Elijah Vera Tucker who could slide out there, but do you really want to risk Tyron Smith at this point in his career? He's one play away from getting hurt, and you have no one there. They didn't bring back Mekhi Becton, so you have very limited options at this point, and you've got to replenish that depth. And I'm looking at a guy like Fa'u Tanu there at 10, a guy who can play along the offensive line. They could afford to use his versatility, whether however they wish. He's another guy kind of like Vera Tucker, reminds me a lot of Vera Tucker coming out, can play either position, maybe have the highest upside at guard, but can play tackle if you need him to. I think the Jets could afford to add someone else like that to the line. The question is, we're all trying to find that spot where Brock Bowers fits. Like, how far can this guy fall? But maybe the Jets at 10 are like, hey, he's the best player available. We wanted Rome Odunze, and someone took him at pick 7 or pick 8 or pick 9. Malik Nabers went to the Giants. He's gone. And obviously Marvin Harrison's off the board. So I guess let's just roll the dice and let's go with Brock Bowers. I could see them doing it, and that honestly isn't the worst decision in the world. I would, yeah. I would. The Jets have to. I think you have to go offense though, because you have to give Aaron Rodgers everything he needs, because it's now or never. Your window is very, very tight. 1, maybe 2 years. That's it.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers would love him some Brock Bowers. I know that for sure. This is a team to watch at that spot in the draft. This is the number 10 pick, Andrew. I would say is a decent spot to try to move up into if you want one of those top offensive tackles potentially, or you know, maybe a wide receiver slips down out just to the edge of the top 10 there. Could you see the Jets moving back and trying to gather more selections to improve their team overall as well?
I think it's possible. They don't have the quantity of needs, but if they aren't sold on Bowers and the guys they want aren't available, if you move down to the later portions of that, or even the middle portions of the first round, I'd be looking at a guy like Byron Murphy, a guy that the mm-hmm. Jets worked out at his pro day. I think the better fit for their defense and just for their run defense in general. There's not a whole lot to pick apart with the Jets defense from last year. They had a really good unit, but one area where they could improve upon is run defense, especially in the middle. I'm looking at a guy in day two, Tavondre Sweat would be a great fit for them. Plug up that middle. You've got the other guys. You got the Quinnen Williams. You got the other dudes on that line, but they still need one more guy to plug up some space. I think Sweat would be a great fit for them in round two. He could even slip to round three. I think in mock 3.0, I actually had him fall into the early third to the Jets. But I agree. Round one, got to go offense. But if they do decide to trade back, there will be options there. They just have to decide where the value is. Where's that drop off in talent? Is it going to drop off at 10? Are we still going to get the same guy we want 8 or 9 picks later? Does a team like the Steelers try to move up for a Roma Dunze and you can slide back to pick 20? Or the Dolphins move up to get the offensive lineman of their choice? I don't know if you'd want to do a trade in division, but it's possible. So there are options for the Jets.
Yes, there are, and we will see how they handle their business come draft time. April 25th is the first round. Hey, let's move on to the final team here in the AFC East. That's the New England Patriots, and a team like we talked about at the top of the show that is a very interesting pivot in this draft with the potential to trade out of that pick potentially or take a quarterback. Andrew, with their signings, it sounds like they're setting themselves up to need to take a quarterback. I mean, you bring in Jacoby Brissett, bring him back, really, because this is the team that drafted him on a 1-year, $8 million deal. That's backup money. You're expecting him to be your backup quarterback, I would expect, if you are going down that road. And then spending some money at running back and wide receiver, bringing in KJ Osborne, re-signing Jalen Reagor and Kendrick Bourne. Tight end Hunter Henry is sticking around as well, and they did bring in Austin Hooper. They've been making some moves that really kind of set this up as they're ready to take a quarterback. They're ready to make that move. If you're the Patriots, are you listening to offers, or are you just sticking and picking whatever quarterback falls to you there at number three?
I think the New England Patriots want what the media does not want them to do. The media is trying to encourage them to make a move up, whether it be for the Jaden Daniels or take a Drake May at 3. I think the New England Patriots, just from things I've heard, I think that they slightly favor J.J. McCarthy. I think they do, just from what I've heard. He fits the mold of what New England wants in the quarterbacks, what they like in their quarterbacks. Just because Jerod Mayo has taken over doesn't mean that their requirements for what they're looking for in a quarterback changes. And if you're looking for a guy who has the smarts, a guy who has the quick release, a guy who can sling the ball over the middle of the field, who can make good decisions with the football and not turn it over at a high rate, J.J. McCarthy's that guy, and he's uber competitive. He's the type of guy that New England Patriots fans would love to see. And I'm not just talking because of the Michigan connection and not trying to compare him to Tom Brady, anything like that. But if you're looking for that guy that just has it, J.J. McCarthy's that guy. And there's questions with Drake May as it pertains to his release time and, you know that slow release. That's something that's going to have to change in the NFL. What system does he go to? You hear the Minnesota Vikings could be looking to move up for Drake May. But where do they move up? Does New England slide back and see who they have left? Will they be happy with a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix at 11 or 12 and reaching for one of those guys? Because if you trade back that far without trading back up, you're not getting any of the guys. So it all depends whether New England has a true preference or not. Because if you have a serious preference, you don't move out of that pick. Regardless whether you think that person could be available for a couple picks, if you have a clear preference, is the most important position on the field. You got to take that guy that you want, that you believe is the difference maker. I think for New England, J.J. McCarthy is an interesting fit, not just because of the Michigan connection, but just of what New England likes in their quarterbacks, how their organization is run. He's the type of guy that they could go after. And honestly, I think that's the most likely scenario right now. If I'm guessing where these four quarterbacks go, you got Williams, one, to Chicago. You got Jaden Daniels, two, to Washington. You have J.J. McCarthy, three. And I think Minnesota is that team that trades up. And then Denver, maybe they take a Bo Nix. Maybe they reach for a Bo Nix. Maybe they decide to just forego quarterback and literally go Jarrett Stidham all the way. Who knows? But it's going to be interesting to see nonetheless.
It will be. Andrew, real quick, what are some other positions that the Patriots need to address in this draft class?
I think wide receiver is an obvious one. They need a lot of help at the wide receiver position. They've got to get their quarterback more help. I know that they brought in KJ Osborne. He was a nice signing. I thought Kendrick Bourne was a little bit of an expensive guy to bring back, but they did it. They still need that guy in the room, though. If in the second round, even into the third round, they've got to get a guy on the perimeter who is imposing, physically imposing. Getting a guy with some size on the outside, something they haven't really had in a long time. I think that's the way they need to go. There's going to be options there. We've talked about some of them already. Johnny Wilson. There's going to be other guys in that range as well. I don't think Malachi Corley falls outside of round two, but if he starts to drop, he'd be a good fit for them as well with his versatility. I still think that they could afford to add another edge rusher. They brought back Anfernee Jennings. They brought back Josh Uche. And Uche is a really good pass rusher, but this past season wasn't quite as good. He regressed a little bit. I think they need to add an extra guy off the edge. I'm looking at a guy like Christian Braswell in round three. If he falls to that point in the draft, there's going to be an edge rusher that falls. Adisa Isaac could be a situational pass rusher that would work for New England. And another guy is Brandon Dorlus. We haven't talked much about him, but he's a guy I've got my eye on as a fit who could. I see him more as a defensive end, but New England's one of those teams that isn't afraid to put their oversized D ends in stand-up position. Dorlus is an intriguing fit for New England in the start of round three. He's one to keep an eye on for them.
I like how the Patriots view themselves with Jerod Mayo running the show now. I think they do see that this is a rebuild and that they're going to need to allocate resources to that thought process. And it starts with the quarterback position. How they handle that is going to be an intriguing talking point all the way up to draft night. And we will see how they handle it. Andrew, any final thoughts on this AFC East before we head out?
I think just keep an eye on it because New England, depending on which way they go at quarterback, that's going to determine the division. How quick can they get back into the fold? Other than that, you got a 3-horse race this year. I don't think New England's in it this year. Then they know that. This is the year of Aaron Rodgers, or will Josh Allen reign supreme? Miami's that team that's just kind of going to get lost in the shuffle. They'll have great regular season, but prove that you can do it in the postseason, Tua, and then we'll buy in.
Absolutely. A tough division. It's going to be fun to watch. For all NFL fans, and if you're a fan of one of these teams, stay tuned here to the FFSN NFL feed. We'll have a lot of content for you guys heading up towards the draft and the regular season as that approaches. That's going to do it for us here on this edition of the FFSN NFL Draft Preview Show. For Andrew Wilbar, I'm Jeremy Best.